Pittsburgh Steelers fans, what's going on? This is Jeff Hartman, your host of Let's Ride, your Monday, Wednesday, and Friday morning podcast right here on the Steel Curtain Network, right here on the Fans First Sports Network. Thank you for taking the time on this Friday. We've made it, folks. We have made it to the weekend. We've got a lot to talk about today. The second half, I want to get this out right off the bat. Jeremy Jerome Bettis is busy. He's occupied, so he will not be joining us. So you know what? We've got the goal line. We're at the goal line of the weekend. We're bringing in the goal line group. We've got Dave Schofield coming up in the second half. He's going to fill in. We've got a lot of good questions for Dave because he has a different approach to things mentally than I do. And so sometimes those contrasts are good. It's good to have different opinions, different thoughts. He definitely provides that. So we'll get that in the second half. Stay tuned to the very end of this show for a heart-to-heart. And then lastly, you look at OTA's week two in the news. We'll talk about that and wrap that up. But what I want to talk about, as we learn more and more about this team, this 2023 Pittsburgh Steelers team, as we learn more about them, we hear little bits from interviews at OTAs, video. We're getting, you know, those reports of things like, well, Dan Moore has been practicing a lot at right tackle. He started that this offseason. He probably saw the writing on the wall. I mean, he probably did. Let's be honest. He probably saw that there's a good chance the Steelers could draft a left tackle. So what did he start doing? He started prepping for right tackle. That tells me get ready for a right tackle camp battle coming up in July at La Trobe. That's exciting because Chukwuma Okorafor has been in this spot before, and he lost that job. You remember, it was he and Zach Banner that were battling it out for right tackle, and Zach Banner actually won that job and then got hurt in week one, and Chukwuma, well, we know what happened after that. Looks like there might be another right tackle battle coming up. That's kind of the stuff, some of the stuff that we're learning about here, though. It's kind of some of the things that we're able to glean from OTAs. Yes, football in shorts, I get all that. I really do. But at the same time, we are learning more about this 2023 team. And so I started to think, you know me, I'm always thinking. Started to think, what about trade value? People talk about this all the time. I think most recently, Jeffrey Benedict brought up Kevin Dotson. Not sure if it was on the Curtain Call podcast on Wednesday night or if it was on his Cutting Room Floor podcast on Tuesday morning. But he brought up Kevin Dotson and the trade value. And I thought to myself, is he the only guy that could potentially have trade value on this 2023 Steelers roster? Is he the only one? So I did a little deep dive. That's the podcast for today, at least the first half. And it's a question that I'm going to answer. Is there trade value on the Steelers roster? I think there is. I really do. When you look at the current roster, before we jump headfirst into this topic, I want to say that I looked up next year's draft picks, and I was shocked. I just was curious, what do the Steelers have in 2024 as it pertains to draft picks? Are there any rounds that they have two? Are there any rounds that they have none? The answer is no to both of those questions. They actually have one pick in every single round, and that's it. One pick, rounds 1 through 7. Now, in 2025, there are some question marks in the latter portions of the 6th and 7th round with the trades for William Jackson. I think the Vikings, there's a trade there as well. But still, next year, for the first time in a long time, it's just straight up one pick per round. So that was interesting to me. Because now Omar Khan's looking at next year, and he's likely thinking, all right, well, we've got one pick per round. This is great. And can we add to any of these? Can we add to what we have? Because now it wouldn't be a situation like in 2023 where they were without a fourth round pick after trading up in round one, but they were also without 5th and 6th round draft picks. And they're trying to figure out if they can get some of those. Khan is willing to make some moves. Keep that in the back of your mind. He's a wild card in this. Maybe not so much a wild card as a year ago, but he's still the guy's willing to make moves. Now, I'm not suggesting that any of these players that I bring up in the first half of this podcast are going to garner a high draft pick. I'm thinking more along the lines of a 5th, 6th, or 7th round selection. We're talking day 3 picks here, folks. So yet, but at the same moment that I say that, I think back to my mailbag podcast last year before the trade deadline. Could get a 1st or 2nd round pick for Chase Claypool. And me, being honest, said, I don't think there's any chance in hell they could get a 1st or 2nd round pick for Chase Claypool. And what happened? they got a second round pick for Chase Claypool. Never would have thought that happened. Never would have thought that second round pick would become the 32nd pick in the first pick of the second round. So things like that can happen. Omar Khan has proven he can work deals to the Steelers' advantage. Now, there's two factors here as I went through and looked at the Steelers' roster and tried to figure this out. The two factors I looked at, it has to be a position of depth, meaning that the Steelers, they have to have a position that they feel comfortable with the depth that they have, that if they make a trade, they're not emptying the cupboard. That's number one. Number two, the person that they're trading has to have value. Would it be as a starter? Would it be as a backup? It doesn't matter. They need to provide value for the other team that is getting that player. So this is one of those situations where it's always frustrating when you hear someone say, oh, well, what if they traded, let me think of a player. Oh, what if they traded Trey Norwood for a third round pick to X team? I'm sorry, Trey Norwood, he does have experience, but he's a seventh round draft pick, doesn't have a high pedigree. He's not going to garner a third round pick. And Chase Claypool, we'll use that as the primary example here. He was a second round draft pick. So he was a second round pick. That brings a different level of value and pedigree. So those two factors, position has to be one that the Steelers are comfortable with their depth. And two, the player that they're trading has to provide value. So here are the five positions that I came up with when I thought about, okay, what positions meet those criteria and have players at those positions that meet that criteria as well. I had interior offensive line, defensive line, outside linebacker, quarterback, and yes, even punter. Now, you might listen to this and think to yourself, Jeff, outside linebacker, are you serious? Really? Defensive line? Hear me out. All right, just hear me out. So let's start at the top with interior offensive line. I already said the name. You should know it too. Kevin Dotson. So Kevin Dotson, first, let's look at the criteria. Is it a position of depth? Now, yes, it absolutely is a position of depth. You're looking at Nate Herbig, Isaac Seumalo. You have a lot of flexibility there. You would assume that they would keep Kendrick Green if they're going to part ways with Kevin Dotson. So Kevin Dotson brings a lot of experience, a lot of value, fourth round draft pick. And for the Steelers, he's entering the last year of his rookie contract. Seems very unlikely that he would come back anyways. So if you can trade him and you get some good value for him, that makes sense for the Steelers. The cupboard is not bare if Herbig is capable, but at the same time, you're getting something for a player that's likely not going to be there next year. So on the interior offensive line, that's the guy, Kevin Dotson. It's not Kendrick Green. It's not. Let's not even go there. Next, let's go to the defensive line. I'm looking at two players here, believe it or not, Montrevious Adams and Braden Fehoko. Now, these two guys would have to have great training camps, and they'd also have to have a great preseason for them to be trade capable, especially Fehoko, because he has not played for the Steelers yet. He was a free agent addition, very cheap, not expecting a ton out of the guy. But when you draft Keanu Benton in the second round, you feel like one of those two players can be expendable. I thought about putting Isaiah Loudermilk on this list. I just don't think they're going to part ways with him. They traded up to get him. They have traded into that fifth round to get him in 2021. I don't think they're willing to say that he's completely done. But these two players, if there's a team that is really ravished by injury along the defensive front, maybe, just maybe, someone takes a flyer. I wouldn't think you would get a lot for those guys. Kevin Dotson maybe could get you a day two pick. But I don't think these guys could garner anything more than better than a sixth, in my opinion. Let's go to the next position, outside linebacker. Now, there's a lot of people that might have heard me say outside linebacker when I talked about those five positions and said, what are you talking about, Jeff? Like, they just drafted Nick Herbig. They bring in Marcus Golden. So right there, you're automatically thinking, okay, there's your four, right? You have Alex Highsmith, you have TJ Watt, you have Herbig, you have Golden. What else do you need? Well, you have Quincy Roche. And again, just like the previous defenders I mentioned, this would have to come after he has a very good, stellar camp/preseason. Maybe if he has like a two-star skipper type preseason. The Steelers are not going to part ways with Herbig, a rookie. They're not going to part ways with Golden, who they just signed. And again, I'm not expecting a high draft pick. Maybe you could get a fourth if he's playing really well. Maybe you could get a fifth. I don't know. But that could be value. He's got to play well. I just don't see a way that they keep him. So if you can get something for him, that's gravy. That's bonus. Let's go to the next one. It should be obvious. Quarterback. We have two positions left. Let's go to quarterback, Mason Rudolph. And Mason Rudolph, he's a guy that, to me, this is obvious. This is the, outside of Kevin Dotson, this is the most obvious player on the roster who could provide trade value in 2023 leading up to the season. If a team has injuries, I know a team that everyone's been floating out there are the Las Vegas Raiders. Why? Jimmy Garoppolo's foot still isn't right from what we've heard. They don't know if he's, you know, going to be able to play right away. Maybe they feel the need to bring in a quarterback who has starting experience, still young, still capable, not your franchise guy, but just someone that could provide quality depth. That's, I think, where Mason Rudolph fits. Or if there's a quarterback that gets hurt and they want to make a trade for that, let's say it's a backup quarterback, someone like Heinicke. I don't even know where he is now, but I know he's a backup somewhere. If he gets hurt, someone might say, hey, you've got Mason Rudolph as QB3. We'll send a fifth-round pick your way for him, because we need someone that's a QB2. We need that backup. That could be the situation that gets Mason Rudolph out of here. Lastly, let's go to punter. And everyone knows I like big press. I think he needs to work on consistency, but Braden Mann is the player the Steelers picked up off waivers from the New York Jets. And he's a player that when you look at the grand scope of everything, they both have the same MO. Big legs, lack consistency. Well, punters get hurt too. Sometimes punters don't perform well. Think back to when the Steelers, you had Jordan Berry and Big Presley Harvin. That was a phenomenal camp battle to watch 2 years ago. And Jordan Berry ended up getting picked up by the Minnesota Vikings after he was released. If they have a situation, now this is the tough part about punter. Same thing happened with Jordan Berry. Most of the time, teams are like, there's going to be punters available because no one's going to keep two punters. So there's going to be a lot of punters that get cut. So sometimes they just wait. But maybe if the deal is right, this is the one that I would really say is unlikely. But I'm going to put it out there because Mann has experience. Braden Mann has experience, so you never know. I just want to say something to wrap this up. I'm not saying that I want this stuff to happen. If Kevin Dotson stays on the roster, the Steelers have proven depth, quality depth, and that's really, really important. I think that's unbelievably important. However, I think the way Omar Khan operates is he's looking at this roster and he sees options. He sees options that are available. Doesn't mean they're available right now, but he sees his roster as chess pieces that he looks at it and says, okay, what are my options now? Where are we going from here? That's what I'm thinking of. And that's what I think is important here. Is there trade value? Absolutely, there's trade value. And I'm not saying they're going to make some big trade, like we're going to make a deal that's going to send, I'm trying to think, like a Minka Fitzpatrick. Like, that would never happen. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about realistic trade options. But again, if they don't make these moves, that's okay. The Steelers will be just fine. They will be just fine if they decide to sit on the players that I mentioned and say, we want to have that proven depth because if something goes sideways, we want to make sure we're okay. And I'm okay if they're okay. So, all right, there you go. So there is some trade value there. In the second half, coming up right after this break, we have Dave Schofield joining me. And then make sure you stay tuned to the very end for a very special Heart to Heart. We'll be right back. All right, Pittsburgh Steelers fans, welcome back after that short break. Hope you listened to all those ads. Hey, it pays the bills, right? And nonetheless, here we are. I talked about how Jeremy Drone Betts is not going to be on the show tonight. He's busy doing Jeremy Drone Betts things. And I said, here we are on the goal line. We need the jumbo package. We get Dave Schofield as the extra lineman coming in. We got to punch it in the end zone, Dave. What's going on?
Not much. I guess I'm just here so you can hedge your bets.
Hey, whatever it takes, right? Whatever it
exactly.
takes. So I teed this up a little bit at the beginning of the show. You and I very much are different in our lines of thinking with things. It's not that one's right. I mean, you always say that you're right, and that's fine. But not that one's right and one's wrong, but we definitely view things differently. I'm an optimist. I will never deny that. You're more of a realist. You like to look at it from a realistic lens. Not that you are rooting against the team. You're not that type of guy. So let me start off with what I talked about in the first half. I talked about how I feel like there's a lot of trade value on this current roster. Now, I also am not ridiculous enough to think that trade value is going to equate in like a Chase Claypool type haul for said player. So I looked it up. I don't know if you knew this. I looked it up. In 2024, the Steelers actually have one pick in every round. they haven't traded any 2024 picks yet.
Wow.
And they don't have
the last time that happened.
I know. And they haven't doubled up in any round either. So like it's just one in every round. I looked at three different sources because I didn't believe it at first. I'm like, there's no way. There's no way. But they do. So what I want to do is I'm going to run down a list of players, and I want you to tell me what you think a realistic trade value, like what could the Steelers get for this player if this trade happens after the preseason or at least nearing the end of the preseason. But what do you want to say? Because I'm sure there's some criteria you want me to
answer. No. I just want to say that you say that I say that I'm right. I don't say that I'm right. Because when you are right, you don't have to say it.
Exactly.
You just know it. So
I've known you long enough to know that. All right. So I'm going to say the player.
Okay.
And you're just going to say like, okay, realistically, what do you think the Steelers could get if they were to trade this player to any team? Now, we got to weigh all the factors. You're going to think about pedigree. You're thinking about pay. You think about contract status. Think about starting experience. Yada, yada, yada. You know it. We're going to start off with the interior offensive line. And we're going to go with Kevin Dotson. Dave, what do you think?
Kevin Dotson. Okay. Well, Kevin Dotson's trade value is really going to have a lot to do with the preseason that he has. If he comes out and shows that he's a little bit more consistent, but just isn't going to be able to be in the Steelers starting lineup, I think that the Steelers, realistically, if he comes out and balls out like that, I think they could even get as much as a fifth round pick for him. But I almost think that the bigger likelihood is they could maybe do a pick swap where they get a third for a fourth. Could maybe even be something like that where it's a little bit higher, but you're not gaining a pick. You're just getting a little bit higher.
With Kevin Dotson's experience, I think the most you could ever get if you have a team that's just really in a dire situation is a fourth. I think that is the highest pick you could ever get. Then again, I also said Chase Claypool would never garner
that's true.
A second round draft pick. So
it depends on how desperate they are.
The next players that I listed were actually two defensive linemen, and both I could see potentially not making the team or potentially being shipped off if someone's willing to pay the price. And that's Montrevious Adams and Braden Fehoko. Now, Fehoko, they just brought in, but when you look at you look at Keanu Benton, you look at Isaiah Loudermilk, both young players. If they were to ship those guys out, what do you think they could get?
Well, I'll first go on record saying I don't think there's any way they ship Fehoko because you don't do that when you sign a free agent.
Yeah, he's cheap.
Because I know that's true. I'm just saying the precedent it sets.
Right.
That you're going to sign them and then you're going to trade them unless he asks for it. There could be an extenuating circumstances.
Good point. So let's say Montrevious Adams then.
Montrevious Adams, I honestly think that for probably either one of these guys, I don't think you could gain a pick for them. I only think you could maybe swap a sixth for a seventh.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think it's much. I really don't think it's much. The next player is Quincy Roche. And Quincy Roche, and again, this is going to be a stipulation. You said about Dotson, how he's got to play well in preseason. If Quincy Roche has a Tuzar Skipper-esque preseason, there might be some value there. The Steelers are not going to get rid of Golden. They're not going to get rid of a rookie in Herbig. I doubt they keep five pass rushers. So what do you think if Quincy Roche does show out in the preseason, what could this be?
Honestly, I don't think they could get anything for him. I don't. I mean, it's really hard.
Even with a Tuzar Skipper preseason?
When you sign a guy to a futures contract, it's usually not that people are going to turn around and trade for him. I mean, I called him Q from the U as soon as he was drafted. I wanted to see him succeed. He was away from Pittsburgh. I just honestly think with everything taken into consideration that because you have the player that had the potential to show what they could do in the regular season and it just hasn't been shown to that level, I really don't know that anyone would give anything for him. Probably, maybe, at most, a conditional seventh-round pick.
Yeah, okay, I can see that. I can see that. Next is tough, Mason Rudolph. And the reason why I say Mason Rudolph, he's got starting experience. He's QB3. Maybe there's an injury. Maybe someone just needs a better backup. What do you think that would look like?
And well, when his contract is cheap, it is. He's veteran salary benefit contract.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't looked at your update yet.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's only technically he's not even in the top 51.
Holy.
He's in that group that's at the top 51. That this is according to Over the Cap, unless they had their numbers off. Because I thought maybe he would get something similar to what, because they still had some left over for what they did with Terrell Edmonds, the 4-year deal. Don't want to bore people to death. They're not here to listen to StatGeek. So I thought he might get that. And according to Over the Cap, that's not what they have him. So he's in that group that's barely, I mean, if they released him right now, there wouldn't be someone else to bump up there. So that's good for the Steelers to have him so cheap, but if somebody else really wants him, that's really cheap to pay him. So I think they would have to really want to get something. If I'm the Steelers, I would not even entertain trading Mason Rudolph for anything short of a fourth-round pick, just because you're better off having him than you would anything else. Because if the Steelers were really happy with what they could have as a potential third quarterback, they wouldn't have gone out and signed Mason Rudolph again.
When you look at the rule change too.
Yeah, you're exactly.
Addressing three quarterbacks. If the situation gets dire, you want to have the experienced player and not an undrafted rookie as QB3. Okay. I like it. Let's go to the last one. This is going to be rare. I doubt this brings any, I think it's going to be more like the Quincy Roche answer. I look at the punter situation with Braden Mann and Big Press. Someone's going to win it. What do you think the odds are that one of them could bring some trade value?
I would say who's going to trade for a punter, but yet the Steelers have done it before. They did. They traded Wing to the Giants for a seventh rounder, correct? Several years ago. So I would say nothing more than a seventh rounder or a possible pick swap for either one of them, just because of them being a punter. But at the same time, you get a team that's in a desperate enough situation. I would just be so happy that the Steelers punting situation is good enough that people are wanting to trade for someone they have.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I thought back to when Jordan Berry and Big Press were having a camp battle 2 years ago, and Jordan Berry punted great, and he didn't get a trade. He was cut and then signed with the Vikings. So I keep that in the back of my head. Okay, very good. Good exercise there. I want to do another exercise with you. So Dave, again, he lives in reality. I live in optimism land. And so, like, for instance, last year when Kenny Pickett was a first-round pick and we're starting to hear reports, I'm like, yeah, let's get this kid out there week one. Like, what the hell? I mean, if anyone listens to Let's Ride, they knew that I was like, get the kid out there now. And Dave was more of the, well, let's maybe not. Let's hold on. Let's wait. Let's see how this goes. And you predicted he would come in, I think you might have said after the bye. No one said week four. People said after week three and Thursday night football. People said after the bye week. It ended up being week four. No one got that. But still, you were the one that said, let's wait a little bit. So I remembered that. And as I remember that, I'm thinking, you know what? I want to ask Dave what his expectations are for this rookie class.
Okay.
Because this is more, Jeff's going to say, Broderick Jones is going to start from week one. Well, that's optimism land. Dave lives in reality. So let's start right there, Dave. What do you think are realistic expectations for Broderick Jones this season?
Okay, well, I've got to say something about the whole Kenny Pickett thing.
Okay.
Because you and Brian gave me a hard time immediately after the pick because you all were already talking about a red shirt season right when he was picked.
Yeah.
So you really changed as everything went on.
I went night to day.
I pretty much held steady the whole time that I said, I think he could play and could play early. I just didn't think it would be week one. I think they would take a few weeks to get him in there. I said anywhere from 4 to 10, because it was a week 9 bye, correct? Yeah.
Yes.
So anywhere from the week after the Thursday night game to that one, I thought that a range in there was somewhere. I didn't think he'd come in mid-game. I really didn't see that one. But I thought he could come in that early. That's what I thought early on, and I stuck with it. Although the one thing that I thought is that he would go from 3 to 2 to 1, that he would start week one at 3. I still think Coach Tomlin wanted him to. That's why there was a clerical error. But anyway, let's get on to Broderick Jones.
Yes.
I've changed somewhat with everything with Broderick Jones because, man, Jeffrey Benedict really explained this well a few weeks ago on the cutting room floor, and that is this guy, he's got all the attributes of a first-class left tackle. He's got the athleticism. He's got the length. He's got all these things. What was his weakness coming into the draft? Inexperience. Yeah. He was raw. Jeffrey said if he was NFL ready, he'd have been a top 3 pick. So you've got to remember that. Now, is he raw and inexperienced just because he didn't have it, or it's going to take him some time? That's the million-dollar question with Broderick Jones. How fast can Pat Meyer get him ready to play? So I think you will see him as the starter eventually, but I don't think he has to be forced into it week one unless he just grabs that job and takes it for himself.
All right. I'm not going to complain with that. This is literally just me. I'm curious what your answers are. Let's go to the second round. Joey Porter Jr.
Joey Porter Jr. is going to be on the field week one. The question is what percentage of snaps. I would put him right around, you know, you never know. What was it? Week one last year, they played 100 snaps. I think it was on defense.
Yes,
it was crazy. So that would, I'm not looking at a game that they play that many defensive snaps. But if it's more of the average, then let's say it's around 60, I could see him playing between 15 and 25 snaps right off the bat in certain packages. No reason to keep him from being on the field, but he doesn't have to be thrown out there right away. Now, based on his performance, if that number comes down, it could be maybe because when he was out there, things didn't go as well. You know, we remember what happened 2 years ago with the Raiders, and then someone didn't play for a long time.
Yeah.
I think he's going to start with lower amount of snaps because he's in a position that he can, and it's going to build up. Whether he's the starter by later in the season or just a significant piece of a lot of things moving around, I just see his role being increased as the season goes on.
Okay, I agree with that. What about Keanu Benton, the other second round pick?
I think he's got a shot to be the nose tackle to start off the season. Because the nose tackle is only going to play about 30% of the snaps.
Right. And
the key to his development, and if he's really coming along, is going to be all about, is he getting snaps at defensive tackle? That's going to be the big question there. Because if he is, then you know that he's really come along.
Okay. So then we go to third round pick, Darnell Washington.
We all have high hopes for him. And I'm like you. I can't. It's hard to hold in the realistic view for him because I just want to see him out there and going. He's someone that just offers such a great dynamic of, is he going to block? Is he going to go out on a route? How are you going to defend him? I'm even okay if he just starts off the season being used as a decoy. Of just, yeah. What are they doing with this guy and everything? Of how much they could use him as a decoy is going to depend on how much he shows as a blocker during the preseason. Because if he shows he's that blocker, then he's already ahead of, let's say, a Zach Gentry in the blocking department, then you could use him to really just confuse defenses to not really know if it's a run or a pass coming based on the personnel that goes out that they have to match.
Yeah.
So I could see him, he might actually, quote-unquote, start a lot of games, but not even play a lot of snaps. He just might be out there for the first play. That it's usually a running play with the Steelers. And that's why Zach Gentry has more starts than Pat Freiermuth over the last two seasons, you know, each of the last two seasons. So I can see him doing that, but I don't know that his snaps are really going to go that high to start. But the more that he can show he can block, the more he's going to get on the field.
Okay, we're only going to do two more players. The next one is Nick Herbig, obviously out of Wisconsin. What do you think about him?
Well, my thought on him was he could be a good rotational piece. Is he that third guy? Then the Steelers went out and signed Marcus Golden. I got the name right, right?
Yeah, you did.
All right, just making sure. I think early on, Herbig might even be a potential player that doesn't get a helmet. I mean, and that's not a knock on him. That's really not. That's what you get out of players drafted in the third round or later. Definitely when you're talking fourth round. So, I mean, think about now, fourth round last year was Calvin Austin III. He was injured. He didn't play.
Right.
Who was the Steelers? They had two fourth round picks the year before, one of which two extremes. Dan Moore Jr., he's out there playing every play. Buddy Johnson, he was inactive unless there was an injury.
Right.
So I think Herbig is ready to be that special teams guy. But if everyone's healthy, he could be the odd man out.
Let's go last player, Corey Trice Jr., seventh round pick, cornerback. What do you think?
I don't think that he has to worry about making the team as long as he continues to do what it's been reported that he's doing at OTAs. I don't, you know, sometimes you're like, oh, seventh round pick, there's no guarantee. I think he's making the team. The question is, how much will they utilize him? And the difference with him is with Joey Porter Jr., the last thing you want to do is ask him to do too much too soon, and he ends up like, you know, you don't want another Kendrick Green where it got thrown into the fire way too quickly, and now you don't know if they can even salvage an NFL career. I don't think the Steelers are going to do that with Joey Porter Jr. But there's, I mean, this, you're talking a seventh round draft pick. There's no reason to hold back Corey Trice. You could really say, you know what, give him the Trey Norwood treatment. Get him out there in packages where he's going to help you find what he does the absolute best and put him in only that situation. That's going to be the Steelers' job in training camp to find out if they just want him to do one thing really, really well, and then you just play him on those snaps to do that one thing. That's a fantastic seventh round draft pick. So that's what I'm looking to see that they will do. How he actually does it could then come. I think the sky's the limit for this one, because anytime you got a seventh round draft pick that can step up and do stuff, you just want to let him go.
Yeah.
And let him do it.
Good stuff. This is great stuff. And we went through a lot in this segment. So David, I do appreciate you joining us and taking the time. Why don't you go ahead and plug your social media and maybe what you have coming up on the website or maybe on next week's Stat Geek or something like that?
All right. Well, my Twitter is STLR Superfan Dad. I'm surprised Jeff had enough time left in the show for me to say that. And also, if you want to email me, you take the same thing, STLR Superfan Dad at gmail.com. I'm still looking for good stats questions. I got some good ones last week, used a couple of them for yesterday's show. But I'm always looking for more throughout this time of the year. So if you have anything good, or you can send it to Jeff and say, hey, ask Dave this, and Jeff will, Jeff will send it to me. He's actually done that. He's even got stuff during his mailbag segment say, I'm going to pass this on to Dave because that's a good stat geek. But yesterday's stat geek, I talked about the free agent classes and the number of players signed by the Steelers. And the big thing was, you're not ready to talk about this year's class because you got to see if they make the team. You could say, oh, they have a ton of them. But even in years past, there was people that they added that didn't make the team, and you just don't even count them. So that's going to be a big thing, but it has a potential to be a very good class for them because last year's class was really well that they got in free agency. And also talked about someone asked me a question about the big time throw metric with PFF. So you might want to go back and check that out if you didn't catch yesterday's Stat Geek. On the website, yes, behindthesteelcurtain.com still exists. I've been going through a series of just explaining how different things work in the NFL. On Thursday, I talked about dead money because Thursday was June 1st, and that's a big key date when it comes to dead money and the way teams can work things around there. So I'll continue on with those. I've done seven of them already. And at the request of some of the people on the website, I did an article earlier this week that talked about the best first-round draft picks drafted by other teams that ended up on the Steelers and how, you know, who was the best ones on the Steelers. Mm-hmm. I was asked to do more rounds, so I got to dive into that.
There you go. Perfect. Well, Dave, thank you very much for joining us. As always, take it easy. I'll see you on the Steelers preview. Check it out last night, and I'm sure you'll be hearing plenty from both of us. So take it easy, Dave.
All right, thanks.
All right, big thank you to Dave. He jumped in. The goal line package came out. Najee Harris punched that sucker in the end zone, and the Steelers scored a touchdown. I appreciate him taking the time. All right, let's finish this up with a heart-to-heart like we always do every Friday. Folks, if I'm going to give you some advice, you know, here we are. The NFL season is kind of in its lull. Try something new. That's a very blanket statement, right? Try something new. Be brave. Be bold. I'm not saying that you should do something that could be potentially harmful to you or to others. I'm not saying that at all. But even if it's just something as simple as, you know, I've always wanted to play that instrument. Go learn that freaking instrument. Or maybe it's, you know, I've always wanted to do this one thing. I've always thought about leaving my job and going and doing this. Or maybe, you know, I've always thought of starting a podcast. Start a freaking podcast. Go and try something new. Be bold. I can speak from personal experience that when you take a risk, does it always pay off? No. But can it pay off? Yes. And like Michael Jordan once said, you miss every single shot that you never take. So just some words of wisdom. Go out and try something new. Maybe you've been wanting to go and exercise more. Well, go and do it. Get up. Be active. Feel what that feels like to just feel great about moving your body in a deliberate way. Don't wait. Don't wait. Life is way too short to wait. Think about it. We are 6 months into this year already. I don't know about you, but it felt like just yesterday we were celebrating New Year's and 2023 kicking off, and we're halfway through the year already. So don't wait. Life is way too short to wait. Go out, try something new, be brave, be bold, and be freaking happy. That's my message for this week. That's my heart to heart. Hope you enjoyed it. I enjoyed this show. Thank you all for checking it out. On Monday, we'll be back, hopefully with a good Monday morning conversation for y'all. In the meantime, you know, we finish it out. Be safe, be kind, and God bless. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday. My candles burning bright. I sleep for 3 to 4 hours every night. Sipping coffee, burning.